It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel. All at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
This week we honor Bob and Ray. Bob Elliott passed away on February 2nd, 2016. Ray passed on March 29th of 1990. They met at Boston radio station WHDH after World War II. They were announcers at the station and they did the news. They worked up comedy skits to do after the newscast, which became very popular. When WHDH got the contract to broadcast the Braves and the Red Sox in 1946, WHDH gave them a 20-minute program to lead into the game. Let's listen to Matinee with Bob and Ray.
Go ahead. Hello. That shows the originality of our orchestra, and they played that number especially for Mary Margaret McGoohan.
Thank you.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Of course, as you know, if you've been listening all week, today is the day that Mary chose to swim out to Boston Light. We may have news before we leave the air. We've made extensive preparations, and we may be able to bring you a special on-the-spot description.
I think we can.
Arrival at T Wharf.
I think we'll be able to make it. But that will come a little later in the program.
Yes, it will. A lot of features on this Friday Fun Fest.
Oh, we're loaded down with them today. Excuse me.
Hey, quiet!
Now then, as I was saying,
Marine songs.
You didn't play the Marine hymn once, Ken. You will be drummed from the service.
Will you add little?
You'll have your epaulets pulled off and thrown to the winds.
To the four winds and seven seas.
Excuse me.
We have a special notice here, before we go anywhere.
Yes.
That Ruby Newman promised that he would listen. He would stop counting his money and listen to our program today.
Oh.
And I suppose it's because we're going down to his place tonight.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What's the matter with you?
At the casino.
Yes.
I don't know. I think it was the lunch I had. It didn't agree with me.
What did you have?
Should I say?
Well, I don't know. I'm just wondering why it shouldn't agree with you.
I don't know.
You don't look too good.
No, but I've got plenty of blood in me.
Well, that's good. You look a little pale, though.
I'm not anemic.
Kind of pallid.
Oh, that's parts all right. Excuse me, did somebody say pallid?
Pallid, yes.
Yes, it reminds me. Good afternoon, everybody. Well, I guess it doesn't remind me of much at all. Pallid is a word that ordinarily would remind me of something, but right at this particular minute it didn't.
Well, I've noticed that about you. I can pull practically any name out of the air, and it will remind you of something.
That's right.
For instance, if I say, astonish.
That reminds me. See how I fell right into that?
What does it remind you of?
Astonish? I don't know. Nothing in particular.
Nothing, yeah.
No.
But, I mean, you are reminded of something every time I do that.
That's right. That was Ken Wilson, everybody. Now, if you'll throw the camera over on Ken, please. Very thanks.
Have you got makeup on your bald spot, Ken?
Black.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. What is that? Two and one?
No.
Three and one?
No.
No.
Four.
Four and one?
No, that shoe polish he had there.
That's what I meant.
Oh.
Well, looks like it's time for the news almost, doesn't it?
No, not quite. I don't believe that comes on the on a particular moment.
Oh, it does?
Yes. But it could be time for a cigarette.
All right, surely. Let's all light up and relax.
Chesterfield over and over again. Chesterfield satisfy women and men. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always by Chesterfield ABC.
Thank you. That was our Chesterfield song.
There's Mr. Kelly. I just presented him during the final moments of his program with a summer squash, and I'm dying to hear his reaction to it.
That was your first summer squash, Bob.
I wonder if he would come in and...
Come in here, will you, Mr. Kelly, and tell us about it?
You expected a bigger one? It's been a long time since we've had good old Joe on the show.
Friends of the radio audience, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to present one of the greatest voices in American radio, Joe Kelly.
Thank you.
What do you think of this, Joe?
Squire, as president of the Ananias Club of Suffolk, Plymouth, and Norfolk.
Excuse me, I'm going on a mystery ride for a few minutes. I'll be right back.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, as president, what?
It gives me great pleasure to comment on the first summer squash from the estates of Elliot.
Yeah, we'll get by the stuff there now.
It is, friends, I wish you could see this summer squash. It is probably 3 feet long. It has the largest sized neck I ever saw. It wears a 14 and a half collar. It is beautiful. And
that was Joe Kelly, everyone.
It's a beautiful thing, Bob, and I think that it should encourage you to do bigger and better things, even.
Seriously,
even
Joe, is that a good summer squash?
It should encourage me to
that
pick
is,
them sooner,
it is
I think.
Really a delicious-looking summer squash. As for flavor, I'll be able to tell you a goody about that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday
I'll be
next
very
week.
Anxious to hear, but tell me from a professional standpoint, is that too far gone?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I can tell you
where I picked it about a week ago.
I can quote a professional on that score, Mr. DeLucia, who was very prominent in this part of the country, a prize winner in all the contests of various kinds of vegetables, said it's a fine-looking squash.
He did. Was he looking at
Bob
you when
always
he said that?
No, he was looking through the window at some fella here that ever since his last haircut has had his summer squash with him every day in the week. Ray Gooley.
Well, thanks, Joe.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
And give me the squash.
You'll report to us the first of the week on how it tasted.
Tell us how your squash came out.
Where's the butter, Bob?
That wasn't included in the bargain, the butter and salt.
I like butternut squash myself. I'm a butternut fan.
I didn't grow any of those.
Summer squash is something that I can do without. I'd prefer a strawberry shortcake.
Bravo. I think I would.
Ken goes along with me. I didn't think you liked it, or else you wouldn't be giving it away.
No, I do like
what
it,
did
but
you
I've
grow
got
it
so
for?
Much of it planted down there.
What, have you got a hole in your bonnet?
I have summer squash all over the yard.
Why didn't you grow something that you can eat?
Well, you can eat summer squash.
Are you exhibiting at the
Oh, excuse me, friends. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest voices in American radio, Leo Egan.
Thank you.
Where did you pick up the bus for that mystery ride? I think I'll go, too.
Okay, take the mystery ride. What were you saying, Leo?
I wanted to ask Bob if he was exhibiting
I'm
at the Hummer
Auction.
Would you care to tell me whether you're going to exhibit tomorrow at the Hummerock Fair?
Exhibit what, for goodness sakes?
His
head? There's only one thing Bob could...
His other squash.
His head.
Bob's other squash.
I haven't been approached by the Hummerock Agricultural Society, if that is the outfit
Leo
running
this.
It isn't necessary. You can just drop in tomorrow and bring along your squash.
Well, I certainly
I'm one
will.
Of the judges.
I'll bring my squash along Sunday morning, if that will be all right.
Race
Fair will
be
on all day tomorrow, starting at 1 o'clock.
I'm going to be on the South Shore this weekend.
Yeah, we might all get together and have a great big time at the...
They're going to have dart throwing contests and baseball throwing contests, of which I will probably be a judge.
Mm-hmm. Did you come to the Cohasset
you
Carnival
will be a
last
judge?
Month?
Yes, I enjoyed it very much. When is it on again?
Next year.
The Hummerock Fair is on tomorrow.
Yeah.
1 o'clock.
There's nothing going on in Marshfield, except I'll be there.
Well, the Marshfield Fair is a little later this month. Will
That's a great
there?
Fair, and you don't want to miss
That's
it, anybody.
That's a wonderful fair. Be sure you make plans now for the Marshfield Fair.
I can't say anything about the Hummerock. I don't know.
But if Leo has
anything to do with it, I have my doubts. That's all I can say.
But it is a nice beach, and if nothing else, you can go swimming down.
How did it get
there
its
name?
There
will be rides on flying horses.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, then there will be a mystery ride.
Do the Nantasket people know they've got flying horses down in Hummerock?
They probably loaned them out.
I see. So there'll be no flying horses at Nantasket this weekend, is that right? Am I correct in saying that? I am not able to determine. All right.
Gee whiz, Leo.
Am I adding anything to your program?
You're so
today?
Profound since the Braves, or since the Red Sox won five straight. How many straight games? Five.
Five in a row. Mm-hmm. And now we open a crucial three-game set with the Detroit Tigers.
The invading Tigers, the
Absolutely.
Bengals, I call
they
them.
Will, the Bengals will be in the lair tonight.
You say we rather possessively, Leo.
Is it true that you own a large hunk of the Red Sox?
I do, but it is not for publication.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just publicated it.
Is there any chance of Tom Yawkey adopting me?
I'll be glad to find out.
Pass it along.
I'm around each day.
Pass the word along.
All right, now run over with your pencil and paper there, Leo, and wait for the big jackpot question, which comes along later in the show. And also on this Chamber of Commerce angle, we had a call from a very fine Norwood citizen yesterday who said, naturally they have more than one newspaper, which I said they had.
Yeah,
the letter that we had was from the editor of the Norwood Tribune.
One of the greatest papers in the universe.
And he wrote us a wonderful review. And there is another paper in Norwood. Now, if the editor of that paper cares to write, we would be happy to mention it.
Well, thanks again, Bob. Something about you that's really great.
Now, that cleans up everything on this Friday. I like to get these things off my mind.
Bob, you're all class.
Also, there's a letter here that I think you should read about your friend Bill Green. I know your eyes bulged when you saw the letter.
Dear Bob and Ray, I would only be too happy to answer the answer.
Answer the question.
It says, to answer the answer your question, don't count your chickens before they hatch, because if you'd be so kind as to tell me which came first, the chicken or the egg. Yours very chicken-heartedly, Miss Joan.
What are you, an announcer up here?
Miss Joan Calder, aged 14 and 6 8/10 years.
Cackler.
Oh, no, Leo.
No. I wonder if she had
Leo, I've caught you on that one.
Is that luck to send her a box of candy?
Then there's a P.S. Will you please be so kind as to tell dear Mr. Green to dry up un bust?
Yes. Because why?
Because he's ruining the program.
Yes. Now, you've seen that, Mr. Green, and I notice you're being a lot more quiet today.
Thanks again, and boy, you couldn't recognize my writing
in
a million years.
Thank you, Joan, for that nice letter. Appreciate it. Let's hear some of your music.
Grand.
Shall
here
we?
They are, friends. Ken and Bill, who will not be at the Hummer Ark Fair this week.
That was dedicated to Mary in her swim today, before she started. Was that what it was, or
yes,
just before she landed?
She ought to begin somewhere in the shore now.
Ken, of course, is the manager. He's been rowing the boat all morning. And when you left her, where did you leave her out there, Ken?
She was just outside near Long Island.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, I have
you
a
mean
word
the one out here in, yeah, in Boston? Huh?
Excuse me, everybody, please. Take a timely tip from your New Haven Railroad. These first 2 weeks in August have long been known as real vacation days. If you're lucky enough to be on your vacation or planning your vacation for the near future, don't take a chance of losing precious vacation hours. If you wonder what we mean, ask any of those who lost valuable time waiting for the fog to clear last Tuesday morning. Now, if you're going to Cape Cod, the South Shore, Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, or to any point in Rhode Island, Connecticut, or New York,
Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, or to any point in Rhode Island, Connecticut, or New York, make sure you get all your vacation. Go on the New Haven's dependable, air-conditioned trains. Convenient service to... Will you please be quiet? Convenient service to Cape Cod. No matter... That's an awful squeaky chair he's sitting in. No matter what the weather, always convenient service. Trains take you to Hyannis or Woods Hole in less than 2 hours. Don't get delayed or detoured. Keep off accident-ridden highways. What's the matter here? Oh, give your vacation the right start. Go by dependable New Haven trains. You'll be glad you did. Now, the Happy Home Laundry presents the 1:15 edition of News, and here is your reporter, Peter Gorey.
Good afternoon. Three men were run over by a steamroller early this morning. Snakes were let loose in a supermarket near Boston today and caused several women to be very excited, fainting cases. Funny thing happened the other day in Watertown. An elderly woman felt sick after breakfast. She went to the doctor and found that her food had been poisoned. Meanwhile, four men suffocated in a wall safe while checking their accounts last night. Turning to more cheerful news, only one person was killed. The other burned horribly when they fell into a vat of acid at a chemical plant. Not much hope is held out for the second person. Overseas, a poor shopkeeper was killed accidentally while attempting suicide. And now, a brief message of condolence for my sponsor, the Laughing Family Laundry, where two employees were unfortunately killed in a mangling machine today. And now the weather. There'll be clouds and thunder showers with lots of lightning and noise and rain this afternoon. It looks like a very unpleasant weekend. Now here are the 1:15 headlines. Three men run over by steamroller. Snakes let loose in supermarket. And four men suffocate in Wall Street. Next news.
Thank you, Peter Gorey, for a swell roundup of the latest news. Weren't there any smiles in that particular news broadcast?
Go to bed, kiddies.
Gee, you left out lots of good stories.
I couldn't include all of the top news stories of the day.
You mean in
I had
live.
As many as I could in there.
Well, that's the way it goes, friends. You'll find it that way. Now we'd like to talk about Casino at Magnolia. Located among them weeping magnolia trees out there along the colorful North Shore.
Located among them weeping waiters.
So be sure and get out there soon. Maybe not tomorrow, but tonight. So we'd love to have you go out there. In fact, Bob and I will be there tonight for dancing.
And for a wonderful meal, which they're so famous for serving to people.
$1.85 will buy you a swell dinner at the casino, believe it or not.
And you'll be able to dance to music like this, believe it
or not.
Eisenman is stimulated six playing for dancing here at the casino at Magnolia.
Thank you, Sam, for swell music.
Good.
Yes, to be music like that, you'll dance to all night long. You hate to see the evening come to a close. You've had so much fun.
And you'll be crazy to go back again.
Remember now, friends, also there are ballet slippers to rent. If you like to dance in ballet slippers, merely go up to the conductor, Sammy Eisen.
You'll know him by the change machine on his belt. He go is the conductor
and,
now.
Go up and ask him for ballet slippers.
Or simply address Ballet Slippers, Box 10, WHDH here in Boston.
Slippers will bring you what you want. The simple word, slipper.
Why don't we have some more of our prize-winning cards?
Well,
are we today?
Sure, go ahead.
Because we've got to find out about Mary before we leave the airwaves.
Thank
that's
you.
That's one asking for a recipe for a soup sandwich. I don't think that does. Well, there's a picture of Graves Light in Boston Harbor. That kind of brings Mary a little bit closer to us. There she is. He's drawn in something there. See the boat?
Oh, yes. I see.
And Mary swimming behind.
That's right. Now then, before the headline, here's another entry here from John Thornley up there in Lowell. Dear John writes to say, Dear Bob and Ray, gentlemen, as per your valued invitation over the entertainingly informative radio show, I say to all, do not count your chickens before they hatch, because though they have never scratched yet, they may be. So don't bet, lest you be left at the post. Sans any chicken feed for mine host. I remain sincerely yours, stupid.
No. Huh? He didn't sign it that way.
Oh, no. It's time that I remain yours truly for Cynthia Sweets, Mr. John Thornley, who we are awarding this very minute with a box of Cynthia Sweets chocolates.
Here's a very nice entry, which I believe receives a box of Cynthia Sweets from Brad Rocket.
From huh?
From Brad Rocket.
Certainly is.
In Newtonville. He says, don't count your chickens before they're hatched, because they ain't yet.
Yes. And in that connection, I'd like to mention that we're going to be out at the casino at Magnolia tonight. And we'll...
That ties in. I love the way you tie those things.
It reminded me.
You're laying eggs.
Yes. We'll be laying eggs.
Gene Griffin of Arlington says, don't count them before they're hatched, because I don't like scrambled eggs for breakfast anyway. We made no mention of breakfast in the rules.
No. But if she wrote and said she didn't like scrambled eggs for dinner, that'd be different altogether.
Sure. But I think she does receive a box of candy. Cynthia,
Well, would you like a handkerchief?
No, thanks. I don't believe I need one. I haven't been crying a little more than usual lately. I can't read this one.
This is cry day here at the station, friends. We all get paid on Fridays. So go right ahead, Bob, while I sob a little
bit. I had nothing important to add to things.
Is that all the candy we're going to award?
Well, that's quite a bit.
3 pounds, sure.
That's about 4 pounds. That'll cost them how much? $1.25 a pound?
Oh, okay, Bob. Incidentally, a lot of people are writing
in
saying...
to be a big prize, sure.
But they haven't received their candy as yet.
We have shipped those off to the accounting department.
I want to tell you right now that Bob and I have absolutely nothing to do with that, friends. We merely give the winners to people, and they send out the candy.
Yeah, but they're checking on all of those who haven't been received as yet. I see a signal from the control room, which must mean our connections have been put through, and we're ready to call in our special events reporter to bring you an actual on-the-spot description. Has she arrived now? Has she landed? Well, Mary, I think, is going to be triumphant in her swim out to Boston Light. And if we could have a little bridge music, Ken, we'll go over there. Oh, look.
Good afternoon, France. We're speaking to you from Boston Light, where we've set up our special division and special events divisional. We've set up our microphones here to bring you a play-by-play, a description of the swim. Of the swimming meet with one person. Good afternoon, everybody. We're speaking from Boston Light. We're...
got a match, Bud.
Yeah, certainly. Thanks a lot. Give me a break. I was talking steady there.
Thought you were. Who are you talking to, yourself?
Oh, I'm on the radio.
Oh, yeah?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm speaking from Gravesend. No, Graves Light. And I'm waiting for the charming Miss McGoon to make her appearance.
Something seems to have gone wrong.
Something seems
our
to be floating out there.
Reporter.
And I think I'll ask the thing that's floating a few questions.
Our special events reporter seems to have gone to the wrong spot. Mary has just landed back at the pier, I believe, after her swim. We've called in the wrong reporter.
Yes, you have.
And I think we'd better leave him at Graves Light and see if we can find the other one. If we could have a little bridge music to get over there, please. This is Kershing speaking. I am standing here amid a crowd of nobody. And we have just sighted Mary Margaret McGoon, who has this morning put on one of the greatest demonstrations of athletic ability of anyone I've had the privilege to see. She's standing here beside me, and I want to get her first words for our WHDH listening audience, if I can.
Oh, I'm tired. Awful tired.
How do you feel, Miss McGoon, after the swim? You feel tired out, eh?
Awful tired.
Did you run into any trouble during your swim out there?
Well, I had an awful time swimming through all those grapefruit hands.
I see.
But after I got past that...
I brushed that one off your head there. You came up rather fast. Your manager took care of you all the way, did he?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't make it.
Uh-huh. And now you're all wet.
I got to 50 yards of the light.
You didn't make it, you mean?
I tried, and I had to turn around and come back.
And how many miles do you... How many miles do you figure you swam this morning?
Well,
how long did it take you?
Well, I left at 2 in the morning.
I see.
I've been in the water since then.
I see.
Yes.
And,
Any salt tablets?
No. We'll get you some after we leave the air here.
You've been swimming in salt water, Mary. Does that make any difference?
Yes, you've been swimming in salt water.
Oh, yes, that's all right.
What, are you stupid or something?
Huh?
I'll ask you a few more questions.
Yes, of course.
Now, what do you plan to do? You're going into the show business or anything? Got any bookings for the next couple of months?
Well, no, but I carried some ballpoint pens with me.
Well, that isn't important anyway. We've got to turn it back to the studio.
I carried some ballpoint pens with me on the trip.
All right, okay.
And I'm also trying to advertise by this swim a movie called Lassie, Go Home, for crying out loud.
All right, well, dry up, will you? We return you now to our studio.
Thanks a lot, everybody. You've been awful.
Shut up. Well, they didn't treat her very well, did they?
They treated her like she was nothing.
They're leaving her all alone. And Ken, you as her manager should have been there. I don't think that was right.
Leo Egan should have handled it all.
He should have.
Because Leo is the sports man.
Yeah.
Wilson doesn't know anything about it. I don't know what he took up the cudgel for anyway.
He was trying to get a little personal publicity out of the whole thing.
I know that.
You won't make any money on this, I'll tell you that, Ken.
Ken, of course, is the great Wagnerian conductor.
I'm mighty ashamed of you.
How are you and Fritz hitting it off? Yeah, Fritz Reiner.
Well, look,
let him go?
We
got an awful lot of clinkers,
that
guy.
At this point, don't you?
An awful lot of clinkers, that Reiner, turns out.
What? We should have the bugle here.
Certainly.
Don't you think?
Read that.
Swifty says, I'm not sure which race should be called a feature event for tonight at Wonderland Revere.
None of them.
So ends another program this afternoon, or today, for...
Commercials, we never finished the reading? Come on, Bob, get to it, young man.
That is starting a commercial...
I'm on over our account.
That's starting a commercial with a negative. I don't think they should do that. Swifty should say, I'm sure which race should be called the feature event for tonight, but I'm not going to say at Wonderland. They're all that good. They straighten it out there.
Of course they do.
They must have thought of that beforehand, huh? The ninth, which is always the brightest spotlights. The ninth, which is always the brightest, comma, spotlights. Wait a minute. The ninth, which is always in the brightest spotlights. It's over the five...
What do you want these draperies, hon?
We didn't order any draperies for here.
They're going up.
Oh, we don't...
Instead of come here to this floor...
We don't want them here. They must be for pains downstairs.
Oh, they said the eighth floor. It's the eighth floor.
It's the eighth floor, but we don't want these draperies. Well, here are the entries for the long-distance event.
It's going to be kind of quiet. I can't think.
It's over the 5/16th mile distance, brings out an all-star field. And the 10th is an endurance contest over the 675-yard course.
Hey, you. Quiet down. You one of them guys that reads aloud all the time?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to hang draperies, right?
Go ahead and
hang. You're talking, right?
Yeah.
Which is more important, you know what I mean?
Well, I suppose the draperies
are.
Go ahead, then. Friends, while he's hanging those draperies, I'd like to get this few words in. This is the list of entries. I think you'll find some right over there.
Thanks.
This is the entries, the list of entries, friends, for the long distance event. The Revere Special is one of the dogs.
Proud. About tourniquets. I think you better come over here.
Proud and Merry.
To save me, I mean.
Ken, will you help the man out, please?
I need a tourniquet.
Proud and Merry, one dog. Half Cast, Candy Lane, Hazelmere, Rosy Future, Look Sharp, and Quick Rock.
That guy sounds like he's reading the lineup at Wonderland or something.
Post time.
First race, 7:45. Daily double closes at 7:30. For entries in all races, post positions, and past performance records, get your copy of the Wonderland program for tonight. Now on sale at all newsstands.
What's this guy, crazy?
Revere is near, of course, from Boston by MTA from Maverick Station. From everywhere, over wide highways, floodlighted free parking lots are provided for those who drive. For a wonderful evening of fun and thrills, go Greyhound racing tonight at Wonderland Revere. That's all I have to say.
Well, it took you long enough to say it.
Did you get the draperies hung?
They're hung.
Okay. We'll see everybody this evening at Magnolia.
The greatest place in the world. Casino at Magnolia.
Remember, that's not Mongolia.
No. Magnolia. We'll see you after tonight. Matthew with Bob and Ray will return again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We hope that you will, too. Ken Wilson played the organ.
Bill Green the piano.
This is WHDA.
Yes, Boston.
Thanks a lot. Hey, wait a minute. Smart people can do a lot with cash. With cash. But veterans...
My apologies for the wow at the end of the program there, but the tape apparently was dragging on the pickup reel when they transferred that to digital. That's Bob and Ray and their WHDH post-war radio show, and that was a local show. Now we're going to move on to their CBS show. It was on the CBS radio network, I think in the afternoons, Monday through Friday, and they had a 15-minute program. We're going to hear two 15-minute programs back-to-back. And when these feature One Fella's Family from 1959 and Lawrence Fechtenberger, Interstellar Space Cadet from 1960.
And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network.
Familiar march, my baby's coming home. We start another Bob and Ray show and we end another week, huh?
That's right. And we'll be ending daylight time in this part of the country anyway, this coming Sunday.
Hey,
get that hour back we lost back last April. April, I think.
Well, we don't have to go through all that business about whether you turn the clock back or so. We get the hour back.
That's right. So you move your clock back.
And
don't do it now, folks. Wait. You've got a couple of days.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, something to think about.
And something we look forward to every Friday.
Hey, right, buddy?
Natalie Attire.
Good to see you up and around, Bob. You too, Ray. Hello, gang.
Remember I said Ray would be better as of yesterday, and he was.
Yes, I noticed. He sounds a lot better. Wonderful.
This is College Song Say evening, and I hope you have one that...
Well, we had a difficult decision. We had so many entries, but we finally settled for the Providence College fight song.
The Providence, Rhode Island?
Yes.
Right?
Where else is it?
Well, I don't know. I thought there might be some other ones.
My word.
Eddie is all set. Does he know the arrangement this week?
Yes, Eddie's ready to fly at it. We want to thank all those wonderful students up there at Providence. So here it is. Okay, take it. Our banners bright are everywhere. The shouts of PC fill the air. In every game, our boys just fight for PC's name. So let us help them in the fray. For Providence must win today. And for our alma mater sing, let this cry of victory ring. Oh, here they come in all their splendor, bearers of the black and white. And when they've won, to them we'll render songs and cheers for their glorious fight, fight, fight. Oh, Providence, fair Providence, victory's sun today you'll see. May your sons march with banners ever high on the road to victory. Rah, rah, rah.
Providence College fight song,
Eddie,
as said by Natalie Attire. I don't think he did. Did you?
No, I didn't drop it.
Sounded like you dropped it.
Well, I almost dropped.
Well,
but I have.
All I ask you to do
all the time.
All I ask you to do is to play it drunk.
No, I.
Oh,
my I really word. Dropped it that time.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Natalie Attire, regularly. And we'll look forward to another college song next week.
Okay, buddy. Bob Elliott, really. And now, here's a message.
Higginbotham here. We will now commence our lesson in stereophonic reproduction. Listen to the call of the spotted bill snicker on ordinary stereo. Now then, on a Columbia Stereo 1 phonograph. Obvious difference, what? The Columbia stereophonic system really causes all others to blush, for it is not composed of just a few separated speakers. Columbia is the originator and exclusive purveyor of stereo projection. Only Columbia fills every inch of a room with real, lifelike sound. Now, when I was birdwatching with the Duchess of... But let that pass. You simply must hear the Stereo One phonograph by Columbia. Ask your Columbia phonograph dealer for a demonstration. And, chaps, portables are priced as low as $39.95. Consoles commence at $129.95. Lost that bird.
And now, as a sustaining feature of the Bob and Ray Show, we bring you another episode of One Fella's Family. Today's episode is taken from Book V, Chapter IX, pages 1, 2, 3, and the top of page 17. Today's episode entitled Putting Up the Storm Windows. We look in on the family now as they're standing just inside the rear entry.
Fanny, where is the stepladder, do you know?
Father speak, and the old lady comes into the kitchen.
Last time I saw it, it was in the
says,
kitchen.
What did you call me?
Yes, wondering.
And the old...
All right, announcer, we're into the scripted portion of the program.
I'm sorry.
Goodness sakes.
What you doing, putting up the storm windows?
Wait a minute, I've lost my place.
That announcer...
That announcer throws me off more times.
Oh, tell it to the Marine.
Because you're the...
I'll tell it to T. Wilson Messing.
Well, he's the producer's son. You can't talk to the producer. He's the producer's son, the announcer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Guess you didn't know I was Nelson Messing.
Well, can we go ahead with the scripted material now?
All right. What are you doing there, Pop? Putting up the storm windows?
Does your script say Pops? You've never called me that in all the years we've been on with this program.
My father decided to change the tenor. Incidentally...
He's trying to bring it up to date. Is that it, young whippersnapper?
That's right. He meant to speak to you before you went on the air.
I don't believe that...
Come on, Daddy-O, let's swing. Did you break a window? Is that what I heard?
Ma, it's like it's time to put the storm windows on, kid.
Man!
Oh, I can't read this.
Let's do it. We'll have a swinging time. I love to see you working around like this, man. You're in orbit.
Like I haven't climbed a stepladder for a year now. I don't know as I'm still young enough.
Man, you're like a gas. I mean, this is real.
Well, let me get on the stepladder. Watch me come on.
Oh, what a... What a large scene that is.
Now we're having a ball.
Man, you're fogging it. It's great. I mean, really.
Hand me that hammer.
Boy, you can't hit what you can't see.
Hand me the hammer, Fanny.
There you are. It sure is fun putting up the store windows.
Look out.
Look out.
All the confounded nonsense I've ever read on the radio.
Clam up, Gaffer. You have been listening to One Fella's Family. Brought to you as a sustaining feature on the Bob and Ray Show. Today's episode...
Lose your place, announcer?
You're going to go home with a fat lip, buddy. Today's episode, entitled Putting Up the Storm Windows, is taken from Book V, Chapter IX, pages 1, 2, 3, and the top of page 17.
17, indeed.
One Fella's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messy. Nelson Messy speaking. This is a Messy production.
And now a message from the watchmakers of Switzerland.
Swiss vacation! Swiss vacation!
Win a fabulous vacation for two in beautiful Switzerland. Enter the Swiss Vacation Contest. It's easy. Nothing to buy. Pick up a free entry blank at a jewelry store or other store that sells quality watches. Then in 25 words or less, complete this statement. A quality watch is the best value because there are 1,000 prizes.
First prize, a 21-day vacation for two in Switzerland. You fly deluxe Swiss Air both ways. Visit many colorful places. All expenses paid for two people plus $500 extra spending money.
Second, third, and fourth prizes. 15-day Swiss vacations for two. Also, 4 Minck stoles, 8 Bolex movie cameras and projectors,
12 Hermes typewriters,
160 $100 watches,
812 gala assortments of Tobler Swiss chocolates.
Enter the Swiss Vacation Contest today. Free entry blanks at your jewelry store.
And this is Biff Burns in the sports room greeting you with another edition of the latest in sports. And our special guest today is one of the grand old men of football, the coach at ICU, Indiana Collegiate University, Mike Lucky Smolin. Coach Smolin, it's a pleasure to have you here before our sports microphone.
Well, Biff, it's always a pleasure to appear on your microphone and to answer any questions that you may want to ask me. Mike Smolin.
We want to fire away a few questions at you, Mike, in particular. We want to find out about this new formation you've developed and to find out just how it's gone in the games you've played so far this season.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Can you tell us about your new formation?
Oh, yeah, well, we got this new Donald formation where we don't go in a no-huddle. I suppose you probably read about it, Biff.
Well, we've read rather conflicting reports about it. At first, it was compared somewhat with the Lonesome End, but I understand lately that it has nothing to do with that sort of...
No, it's not been compared to that lately because they're all lonesome. By that, I mean there's no huddle and they kind of dollar around, and what I had figured out, I thought, was to, on a certain number, the ball would be snapped.
Just
to
kind of confuse the other team, is that right?
No.
Well, go ahead.
On a number, the ball should have been snapped, and we'd catch the other team off guard, so to speak.
Kind of confuse them.
No.
Uh-huh. Well, what happened in the two games you've used it in so far?
Well, of course, we've met with disastrous results. This is probably the worst year we've had so far.
And it worked out that your team ended up more confused than the other, judging by the score.
No. What happened was this. We got walloped, you know.
Well, we've seen the records of that. Are you going to continue to use it, or have you decided to scrap it?
Well, we got to go through with it for the game tomorrow. After that, I think we'll go back to a tight single wing, you know.
Are you going to be out there at the hot dog concession, as you have
That's
been in
right.
all the other games?
That's right. I want to invite everyone to come out and eat as many hot dogs and soft drinks as they want. Have a good time at the game.
Well, we certainly wish you a lot of luck, and do you have any advice for any of the kids tuned in?
Well, I'd say any kid who want to dawdle around like this is to get a football and kind of hang around and don't go into a huddle. Stand around outside a huddle, but hold the football. Know the football.
Well, there you have it, sports fans. Our interview with Coach Lucky Smolin of ICU, Indiana Collegiate University, and a description of his new dawdle formation. Until next time, this is Biff Burns saying, so long.
Here's Hollywood star Mona Freeman.
Who feels like acting with a miserable cold? I relieve cold distress the fast way with four-way cold tablets.
Yes, tests of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. Amazing four-way starts in minutes to relieve muscular pains and headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
When a cold strikes, do what I do. Take four-way cold tablets. It's the fast way to relieve nasty cold distress and feel better quickly.
Four-way, only 29 cents.
Our program will continue in a moment after a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, Ray.
Had dandruff for years? Now get rid of it in 3 minutes. Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. 3 minutes with Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep unsightly dandruff away forever. Apply Fitch before wetting your hair. Rub in 1 minute. Add water. Lather 1 minute. Then rinse 1 minute. Every trace of dandruff goes down the drain. 3 minutes with Fitch. Embarrassing dandruff's gone. Fitch can also leave hair up to 35% brighter. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today.
Thank you very much,
Ray. Oh, boy. Boy, I mean, now it really in orbit, right?
Yeah, and we don't have very much time left today. We can't go into our fictitious studio audience.
How do you like our new theme, Bob? Call My Baby's Coming Home, written by Sherman Feller, dear old friend of ours.
Very good reaction. All the folks over at the Bonanza Hotel here in New York seem to think it's great.
Wonderful. Well, friends, we're going to have a special Latin phrase for you in just 10 seconds.
And
And here's that special Latin phrase you've been waiting for, cave canem, which means beware of the dog.
So have a nice weekend, everybody. And until Monday, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
This station presents the New York Good Morning Show, affiliated with the CBS Radio Network.
And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Okay, Pierre, if you would, give the signal to the musicians to fade. And, Bob, I'd like to bring you first to the microphone today and ask
Thank you, Ray.
Exactly what you're doing about the mailing list.
Well,
I've put you on the spot this way.
Went over it with the staff this morning. The mailing list is a very heavy one, a long list.
Just one second, Bob. Would you put the green spotlight on Bob, please?
Thanks.
Good.
We expect to have our spring mailing ready within the next 2 or 3 weeks. Anyone who's on the mailing list?
When you put a green spotlight on somebody, it makes you look terribly spooky. Take that off. Put the red one on.
The red gives me a little more color, I think.
Look great under the red spotlight. Go ahead, Bob. I didn't mean to interrupt.
It's going to be ready in inside of a month, I'd say.
Could you go along
Six
then?
6 weeks, 8 weeks.
And tell us about Webley Webster's party, if
Webley
you have
Webster's
any information.
Webley Webster's party may be on April Fool's Day, I heard this morning.
Well, now that certainly is just about 2 days away.
Day after tomorrow. Webb, do you know anything about it?
What?
The party, is it going to be Friday?
Would you put the purple spotlight on me, please? Thank you. The purple one.
That's the brown one. Put the purple one on.
Purple one.
We can't give you the purple one. It's just been dismantled over there.
Who dropped the spotlight up there?
Like I did, Ray. I was just coming through the shortcut into the studio.
You know what one of those things cost, Wally?
I should imagine quite considerable. But you're covered, aren't you, with insurance for that stuff?
Well, if you could say your salary is insurance, it will take about 4 of your weekly take-home paychecks.
Well, I don't have any insurance like that.
That's the kind of insurance we
thing. Can't get salary insurance, can you?
No, I don't think so. Okay, now
I'll give you the name of my insurance man if you want to find out.
No, I don't want to talk to him.
No, please. Well, Clifford Fleming is up in Mount Washington, all set with another one of his, I don't know how to describe his new type program. It isn't weather, and it isn't all folksy information.
Well, it's a little weather, but just kind of homey kind of stuff, I think, the last time he did it.
Well, he does some things a little under the weather up there, I know. It's so if he's standing by, please, Clifford Fleming.
Good evening, Ray, and I hope you'll notice I got your name right tonight, but let's get to the weather, huh?
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow, your 31st, your last day of March, the sun is going to rise at 5:43 in the northern states, Ray. It'll set at 6:26, making the length of the day about 12 hours and a half.
Well, I mean, they
usually getting longer, are. I think, as you'll notice the time moving up.
Yeah.
Thursday, tomorrow, will be a lucky day for any of you born under the sign of Aries. I think...
Say, you know, that I have an interesting story.
I think you're one of those, Ray, and
no,
also your partner there, too.
Right-o.
And Thursday's a lucky day, so look out for it. As far as weather goes, through the 3rd of April, the almanac tells us we should have a pretty fair weather.
Uh-huh.
Pleasant in the Atlantic states, fair in the northeast, with severe storms in the west spreading to the Mississippi Valley, but... Let me warn you, it's a long-range forecast made up last year, and, of course, we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay,
now,
good, buddy.
Before I go, I'd just like to leave you with this word.
He's as bad as that other fellow that called.
Clifford Fleming says, good night and have a gasser.
Good night and have a gasser. That's becoming his trademark.
Kind of, yeah.
Pepsi-Cola refreshes without filling. Why? Because it's truly light.
Charlie. You're forgetting something.
Wait, Kay, there's more. Yes, ice-cold Pepsi is the delicious refreshment that goes great at a picnic or a party.
But, Charlie...
And Pepsi goes fast. People like it, so keep plenty handy. There.
Oh, you did fine, except for one thing.
Well, I mentioned lightness and how Pepsi refreshes and how fast it goes.
You left out Pepsi sociability. You know the Be Sociable song.
But, Kay, I can't sing.
I can. Listen.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi, drink light, refreshing Pepsi, stay young and fair and debonair, be sociable, have a Pepsi.
Well, at least I can say this.
Pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today.
Please do.
And now, chocolate cookies with white stuff in between them brings you another episode of Lawrence Spechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
In our last episode, Lawrence Spechtenberger and Mug Mellish return to the Interstellar Space Academy, where Mug and Lawrence will take part in the great debate next week. But for now, they're relaxing in the Academy cafeteria, and as we join them at their table, we overhear Lawrence say...
Every once in a while, Mug, I get to remembering the wonderful, wonderful meals we... Or I enjoyed in Venus.
Yeah, I suppose you do, Spechtenberger. Pretty good food, huh?
Food is very hard to describe. It was all prepared in a very tasteful manner. And I don't believe I was served one food dish that I didn't relish or enjoy.
That's so. Mm. They have the same things to eat up there that we have down here?
No, well, they have soups, for instance, but like we had Devern soup with the clabber.
Oh, yeah.
And that's served either hot or cold.
I mean, they have something like beans and frankfurters or anything?
No, nothing like that. We have, for instance, like you may like a steak. Up there, the folks in Venus love a broiled manu estepa.
Oh, yeah. That sounds
and
pretty
I
good.
Cannot describe this for you. It's just great. Then the creamed rosca.
Ask me them graham crackers there, will you, please?
Something else that I liked up there was mashed pluff.
How do they serve that with a gravy? Oh, I dropped something. They serve that with gravy.
You're
or...
not going to use that same spoon, are you?
No, I get another one over here.
Forgotten all your sanitary courses here at the Academy, Miller?
Well, I was so interested in listening to the food there on Venus. I got carried away.
They have crepe alisoles.
What's that like? What does it taste like?
It's a dessert. It's hard to describe because there are no flavors that correspond to it down here on Earth.
I see, yeah.
Or up here on Earth.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. You know, Earth looks up to us when we're in Venus.
I suppose they say how to folks up on Earth.
Absolutely.
Down there.
Yeah. And then we have the demi-rache. That'd be kind of a liquid. Gee, you're a very sloppy eater today, Mellish. What's wrong with you?
Well, that name sounded kind of familiar. I thought I had that someplace.
Then we top off the meal with Kaznia brandy. Boy, you know, you hold that up to a light, and you can see, they say, decades of whatever went into it growing there.
Yeah.
Truly amazing.
That sounds pretty good. Does the food stick with you, though? I mean, I've heard a lot about that food.
Who's
on
the new kid laughing at the next table?
I don't know. It's...
Does he know that he's laughing at Lawrence Spechtenberger?
Well, you've been away for quite a while, you know.
Does he know that that qualifies him for a bump, if he's not careful?
I'll call him over here. Hey, you.
Yes?
Come over here.
Surely.
Were you laughing at Lawrence Spechtenberger?
Yeah, all the silly things he was talking about.
What do you mean, silly? He's been to Venus, you know. You'll remember now, Spechtenberger. Oh, wait a minute. Was that you he hit?
I'm awfully sorry. I didn't mean to antagonize you. You been here long?
Yes, I just came up the other day. I'm here for a four-year term.
Oh, we'll be seeing you around then, kid, huh?
Yeah, only next time you call me over, you better be ready.
Yes, sir.
I'm a tiger.
Hey, Lords, I think you're going to have trouble with this kid.
Look, I can always go back to Venus.
Well, does Lawrence find his position at the Interstellar Space Academy threatened by the new candidate? Be sure and join us to see how developments work out next time when we'll hear the new kid say...
Let's get on and wrap up Spechtenberger.
In the next episode of Lawrence Spechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
Ray, is that line into Washington that we prepared before the show?
Right, I was going to explain to the folks that oftentimes on a news report or any type of show that they tape it ahead so that it can be broadcast at a more appropriate time.
That's right. And we, with the coming of this election year, of course, we're thinking ahead as we are all the time. We decided that the Bob and Ray staff needed, in addition to its worldwide correspondence, a member in Washington, our nation's capital. We have signed such a person in the person of Don Coyote.
Any relation to Don
Coyote? No. And if he makes out, we think he will,
with reporting from Washington. It will be a regular feature. We're going to try him out now as he tapes a report for later use by our services today. So if the line is open, Joe Lonzo, will you signal Don Coyote to come in for his transcribed report from Washington? Hello, Don?
Yeah.
Bob and Ray here.
Well, I'm all set to go on the story.
Good.
About a minute and a half, I think.
Okay, that should be easy, and if we get the tapes rolling here, and then we'll play it later on the
news. Okay.
You want me to introduce you?
Yeah, just give me a go-ahead.
Give me a go-ahead.
Right. No, don't introduce me. Just give me a go-ahead.
Okay.
Right.
Go ahead.
Good evening.
No, I tell you what, cut it.
Right.
I tell you what I'll do. I'll say, go ahead, and then you count three, and then
right.
Go right in.
Good. I'll take a beat.
Go ahead.
This is Don.
What's the matter, Don?
The
hold the tape then.
I could hear the tape rolling.
Oh, they were rolling it back, I think, there. I tell you, let me give the introduction like it will be, and then we'll have the whole thing.
Let me just give it a check. I want to make one more change on the first line,
okay.
So I'll have this.
Let me know when you're ready. Hold the tape.
Okay, yeah, sure. I got it.
All right, he's ready. Right. Now for a report from Washington. Come in, please, Don Coyote.
This is Don Coyote in Washington. Just a few men...
Wait, you want to take it over again?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just let the tape roll there.
This is Don Coyote in Washington. A very interesting thing happened to me early this afternoon. I was...
Hold it just a minute, Don. You're doing swell. Yeah. I forgot to give you the introduction.
Well,
I want
that
right.
Later, though,
well, it'll be a lot simpler if we have it right together,
you know,
see? I know you're going good.
Hey, buddy.
Let me just...
Yep.
Now for a report from our nation's capital, we call in Don Coyote in Washington.
Come
in, please.
I'm
sorry, I was talking
over
you.
Are you talking over me? Okay.
Yeah, I'll do it again. Now for a report from our nation's capital, we call in Don Coyote in Washington.
Go ahead, please.
No, I'm going to say go ahead, please.
Look, why don't you let me do this, buddy, and then you can put on that souped-up intro later, huh?
Well, I wanted the whole thing together to save editing
really,
and get it back here.
For me to do down here.
Well, all right.
I don't want to spend all my time in this phone booth. You know?
Go ahead, please.
Boy.
Go ahead, please.
Tape rolling?
Yes.
Okay. This is Don Coyote in Washington, D.C. Just a few minutes ago, I was...
What's the matter now?
This other row. This is Don...
I tell you...
Our
time is pretty near up, Don. Yeah. Could we call you back after we get through with the show and...
No, I'm not going to be here.
Maybe you can do it live or something.
Let me... do you have just a second? No, okay.
I don't think we do.
All right, yeah.
We'll be checking with our Washington correspondent on later days. I don't know whether we should tape it or not, do you?
Well, it's safer, Bob, to have it on tape. Then you can control what goes on the air.
Well, that's right.
I would hate to just introduce Don Coyote. You never know what he'd say. You know, he's not the old pro at it.
Well, talk with him anyway.
I think maybe a letter to him explaining and setting up a set standard introduction that he'll know.
Okay. Tomorrow we usher out the month of March, and you'll want to be here for the regular 31st of the month features.
That's right. And we'll be back, though, with the sound of Webley Webster getting paid in just 10 seconds. Okay, Private Webster, front and center.
Oh, center, here's your pay for the week.
And until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Bob and Ray are a regular Monday through Friday feature of the CBS Radio Network.
This is KCBS Radio, AM/FM, San Francisco.
Bob and Ray had a chemistry between them and seemed to be able to read each other's minds and finish each other's sentences. We will wrap up this tribute to Bob and Ray with some of the bits they did over the years.
Next, Mary Backstage, Noble Wife, the story of America's favorite family of the Footlights and of their fight for security and happiness against the concrete heart of Broadway. Yesterday, after they discovered that the lion, which interrupted the shooting of the opening of their TV special on Africa, was really a tame animal, our friends returned to work. Now, moments later, Greg Marlowe is prepared to try a third time to shoot the opening of the special TV.
And I think your suggestion that we play it as though it was tame lion is a good, valid one, and I think it will work.
Oh, I think it will make us look human, Greg, right, and be kind of a surprise at the opening of the show, too.
I think that's a nice idea, because, you know, people like animals, but they like them better if they know they're tame.
And they wouldn't want to see a TV show in which the world-famous Broadway stars, Mary and Harry backstage, were in any kind of danger.
No, that's right.
That's a good point.
And, you know, you can transmit the feeling of danger through your audience, and if you're uncomfortable, they get uncomfortable, and next thing you know, they're turning channels.
That's right, and we don't want them to do that Thanksgiving evening.
We don't want them to do that, that's right.
Greg, have you definitely got this set for Thanksgiving? Have you spoken to anyone at the network?
It hasn't been locked in, but I think it's firm enough for us to go ahead on that idea.
All right, come over here, Shahrazad. You're going to try the opening again.
Yeah,
huh?
I want you to, just be petting the animal and smiling and look like you're having a good time.
Sure, okay.
And then, now look, do you see out back there, you see off in the distance that hole in the side of the hill?
Right.
Now, after you've petted the animal here at the beginning, and I wave like this, you see, then you'll all kind of turn and head out towards the hole in that hill.
What is that, some kind of a cave, do you think?
I don't know what it is, but I want you all to file into it when you get there, and I'll be holding all the way, okay?
All right, okay.
All right, now we're going to try the opening again.
Right.
Okay, Henry, would you run the sign, Henry?
Sure thing. The clapboards?
Yeah, please.
Right. I've got dinner already anyway.
All right.
Not going to have springbok like I thought you were.
What are we going to have for dinner?
Oh, it's kind of like hamburger.
Oh, all right.
All right, this will be scene one, take three. Action.
Okay, gang. You know, pet the animal.
Hello, Shahrazad.
You're not taking this down on tape, the voice part, are you? No. Just say anything you want.
Looks like we're having fun. Hello there, Shahrazad.
Oh, hello there, animal. How are you today?
Speak.
We're not going to have springbok for dinner, Shahrazad. We're going to have some kind of like ground meat, according to Henry here.
Yeah, that'll be something that Shahrazad could eat, too, without
anything. Should we start to turn now, Greg? No, a little bit longer, petting the animal. Okay, now turn and start off through the brush.
Right.
And head for that small hole in the hill out there.
Right, that'll be a long shot.
Right.
Well, we're almost here, Mary.
Can he see us back there?
Let me see. Yes. Wave to him. He's waving. He's waving.
So, well, here we are at the mouth of this cave. I don't think I want to be the first one to go in.
Well, I don't think I do either. This is kind of spooky to see this. Look, there's a wooden frame, a frame of wooden beams over the opening, as if it were a doorway, kind of.
And it says Friar.
I wonder if someone lives in here, do you suppose?
Look, just for the purposes of the program, I don't think we could be violating any laws. It doesn't look like anybody's inhabiting it now. Right. Why don't we just walk in?
Just get inside so we're out of the picture.
So that, Greg can get the picture of us entering the cave.
Come on, I'll lead. Mary, you follow. And
all right.
Pop and Calvin, you come on in. Not as dark in here as...
Well, it gets darker way in.
Oh, way in the tunnel, yeah.
Look at that for a shiny stone here. Let me pick that up.
I wonder if Greg is still shooting. Yeah, he is. Still folding.
That's a nice stone, isn't it?
Why, it certainly sparkles.
Yeah. I think I'll put that in my pocket. Why not? It's just a stone, right? Oh, look, there's another one. Not as big. Do you want one, Pop?
Yeah, I'd like to have one.
Yeah, probably like mica or something, you know, that comes out of granite.
It doesn't crack like mica. It's hard.
Yeah, it is.
Harder than a rock, almost.
It really is hard.
There's one over here, too. Here, Mary.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Give you that one, and I found another here.
Oh, look at this one. This is a good size one here. What are these shiny rocks? I wonder what they are.
You don't suppose that we've stumbled on...
On what?
On a diamond mine. Well, is Pop beloved?
right when he thinks they may have stumbled into a diamond mine in East Africa? Be sure and join us on Monday when we'll hear Calvin say,
"The man said for us to freeze."
That's Monday in the next exciting episode of Mary Backstage, Noble Wife. Word Carr speaking.
Hi, sports fans. This is Biff Burns in the sports room, and our special guest here today is a rookie driver who's taken the auto racing circuit by storm, Mrs. Agatha Wister of Pasadena, California. Certainly is a pleasure to have you with us, Aggie, and I hope you don't mind my calling you by your first name, which has become a legend throughout the racing fraternity.
No, I don't mind in the least, Biff. When you get to be 84 years old, almost everything about you is right on the verge of becoming a legend anyway.
And, of course, at your advanced age, that's made you one of the sports world's greatest living sagas. Aggie, we hear through the old grapevine that you're now planning an assault on the land speed record at Bonneville, and yet you just began racing a few months ago. What's the inside scoop on that?
Well, actually, Biff, I began my racing career more or less by mistake. I'd been creeping around Pasadena for years in a 1915 Detroit Electric, and whenever I went out on the freeway, the cops were always stopping me for obstructing traffic. So, a few months ago, when I heard sirens behind me, I pulled over expecting a ticket for the usual reason.
And the old crystal ball tells us that that incident was the big turning point, Aggie, but it doesn't tell us why.
Well, it was the big turning point because the cop hadn't nailed me for obstructing traffic. In fact, he told me I'd been clocked on radar at 228 miles an hour in a 55-mile zone.
228 miles an hour in a 1915 electric?
Yes, of course, I was surprised as all get out, even though it did seem like I'd been whizzing through traffic when I never did before. And then I realized what had happened. See, I'd left the battery charger hooked up to my car longer than usual. And somehow, I guess it made the whole mechanism just go completely haywire.
Well, the old crystal ball here in the sports room tells us.
Well, the old judge in the courtroom told me I was a downright menace, and that if I planned to drive that fast, I'd have to do it on a racetrack.
Well, you heeded the judge's warning, I guess, and a great new career was born.
Well, that's what I was going to say, but I wasn't going to sound quite so much like you said it. For one thing, it hasn't been as easy as you might think. At first, I just thought the longer I left the battery charger on, the more speed I would get out of the crate. So I charged the batteries for 2 solid weeks and the whole car blew up.
Well, what did you do then? That left you without a mount for your attack on the land speed record at Bonneville.
It also left me without any semblance of a garage and without most of my house. I mean, when that baby blew, she really blew. Fortunately, I located another old electric, so I've been able to continue with my work, even though I'm still living in a pile of rubble that looks quite a bit like a bomb crater.
Well, we want to wish you a lot of luck on your assault on Bonneville, and thank you, Agatha Wister, for being here in the sports room today.
Well, hi, and welcome to Showbiz Corner. Today, an interview with a sick comic, a ventriloquist. Let's say hello to Eddie Ha-Ha Bostwick and his dummy, Eric.
Hi, Ray.
Eric is a very unusual-looking dummy, Eddie. Is there a reason for that?
You mean the horn-rimmed glasses?
Well, that's part of it. And there's the receding hairline, the shadows under his eyes. Well, you know, he looks altogether jaded.
Yeah, well, I get lots of humor out of him with wry comments. Comedy hits much harder when a person isn't expecting it, you know?
Where did you and Eric last work, Eddie?
Well, we appeared at a health club last week.
That's an unusual place for a ventriloquist to appear, isn't it?
Well, after we did our act, the people around the health club felt a lot better.
They liked it, did they?
Well, nobody turned a hose on us, if that's what you mean. But we're not going back there. The atmosphere is too turgid.
Now, you're known, or what is known, as a sick comic. Would you, you know, for those listening, would you explain to our listeners just what that term means?
Well, it's hard to define. I'd say a sick comic is an artist who doesn't let humor stand in his way when he's appearing at a nightclub.
I guess you guys think it's more important to make an audience think, not laugh, right?
Yeah, I got a laugh last week, and it shook me.
Can we hear about it, Ed?
Well, you see here where Eric's leg is a little bent?
Yeah.
It happened when he dropped off my knee about a month ago. Anyhow, about this laugh I got. Well, I was on stage. A guy from the audience hollered up, "Hey, your dummy's got a broken leg."
And the laugh you got stems from your response to that observation?
That's right. I shouted back, "I know he's got a broken leg. After the show, I'm going to take his arm off and use it as a splint."
And that was a swell comeback.
Yeah. There was a man at the front table who laughed so hard, surgery was required on his stomach.
Eddie, can you give our listeners a little sample of your comedy? You know, nothing much. Give your whole act away, just maybe the opening.
The atmosphere here isn't oppressive enough, really.
Well, we shut all the doors and windows as soon as we heard you were coming, you know.
I thought I felt a breeze like fresh air.
No. Will you do your regular opening, Eddie, please?
Well, my opening remarks, of course, addressed to Eric here, and they're as follows. Say, Eric, do you know why the lights dim every night down in Washington, D.C.?
No, why?
They dim because someone down there keeps switching on his tape recorder.
Uh-huh.
Then I get into the meat of the thing with the tape recorder. What a surprise it can be if people operate it in the bathtub with wet hands and they turn on the switch.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us, Eddie Ha-Ha Bostwick, and thank you too, Eric.
Okay.
And I'd like to express my gratitude to your manager, Florence Nightingale. Making it possible for you to be here with us at the Bob and Ray Show today. Thank you.
Next, Mary Backstage, Noble Wife, the story of America's favorite family of the Footlights and their fight for security and happiness against the concrete heart of Broadway. On Friday, we left Mary, Harry, Greg, and Pop as they began exploring what appeared to be an abandoned mine while Greg Marlowe filmed their activity. Now, a bit later, Greg stops the camera, calls into the cave to our friend.
Can you hear me in there? Hello? This is Greg Marlowe.
Over here, Greg.
Broadway producer.
This is Harry Backstage, Broadway star, beloved idol of a million other women.
Can you hear me in there?
Yes, we're over here, Greg.
I can't see you. It's pitch dark in there.
Wait a minute. I'll strike a match. I don't have one, Pop. Do you have a match?
No, I don't smoke, Harry. You know that.
Don't look at me. I haven't smoked for 10 years.
Harry, do you have anything? No, you wouldn't have
anything. No, I don't have any matches.
We'll have to talk you over here, Greg. We'll keep talking. You just follow the sound of our voices.
I'm filming it. I have the camera open wide up. F2.
Do you hear bats over here?
What did you say?
Bats. I hear bats fluttering their wings.
Oh, if they ever get in your hair, it's something terrible. Oh, I can't stand bats. Are you sure they're bats?
Well, they sure sound like bats.
I don't hear anything. But then again, my ears aren't all that good.
Where are you, Greg?
What?
Where are you?
I'm at the mouth of this cave.
Well, just walk straight ahead.
All right.
We're just a few feet inside. It's pitch dark in here.
Okay. I can't see you.
I got an idea, Harry. Let me hold this handful of sparkling stones up to that trickle of light coming through from the outside. Then it'll reflect and show him where we are. Good idea, Pop.
Well, why don't you just... We'll just keep talking and follow the sound of the voices.
You
That's
see the reflection of these shiny stones in my hand, Mr. Marlowe?
No, I don't see anything.
Guess that won't work, then.
Can't see a thing.
I can hear your footsteps, Greg. At least I think they're yours.
Why did you go in so far? I said, just go into the cave. I didn't mean for you to... How far in do you suppose you are?
Oh, maybe 50 feet. We kept picking up these sparkling stones, and, well, we just lost all track of where we were walking. Mary, are you with us?
Yes, but I think Greg has gone past us.
How could he go by us?
See you.
Over here, Mr. Marlowe.
I'm looking. A little walking. I'm way beyond 50 feet now.
Yes, well, we're not 50 feet in, I don't think, Greg. Maybe 30.
Hello?
Greg?
Hello?
I don't think he can hear us anymore.
Hello?
Mr. Marlowe?
Hello?
Oh, Mr. Marlowe.
Where are you, folks?
Up here, Greg.
Hello?
Sounds like he's gone down a ramp or something.
I'm afraid he's really lost.
I'm afraid he is, too. You know what we've got to do is go outside, get some sort of light, flashlight or matches or something, and come back in and find him.
Oh, I just hope he's all right. Poor Mr. Marlowe.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Marlowe, we're here.
Hello? I'm lost.
Hey, you know something, Harry? What?
I'm lost.
I can't see that opening outside anymore.
What?
We must have turned the corner.
We're all lost. We're all lost.
so it appears that not only Greg Marlowe, but Mary, Harry Pop, and Calvin are lost inside the cave. You want to join us tomorrow when we'll hear Calvin say,
"Well, I wouldn't give for a turkey sandwich right now."
That's tomorrow in the next exciting episode of Mary Backstage Noble One. Word Carr speaking.
Come in, please. Wally Ballou.
Lee Ballou, winner of 55 international awards and now in his 26th year of radio broadcasting, speaking from Madison Square Garden, and spread out before me is a panorama of some 315 regional winners competing to see who could best beat the most eggs in a one-hour period.
1 minute to go. 1 minute.
As you probably heard, this hour-long contest is entering its final minute. These contestants are all people interested in keeping a grand old tradition alive. The electric mixer has virtually eliminated the need for beating eggs by hand, but these folks are craftsmen who want to do it the good old
30 seconds to go.
Down to the last 30 seconds now, and such feverish activity you've never seen, mostly on the part of these women who learned to beat eggs by hand and have kept the skill alive. We're moving now toward the rostrum where we hope to interview the winner and when it's all over. And there it is. The end of a grueling hour of egg beating for this dog-tired group of very game, very able contestants.
With a corrected total of 177.43 eggs for the hour is Mrs. Shwanda Hetherington, the West Virginia State champion from Parkersburg.
Well, there you have it. A new national champion is crowned. Mrs. Hetherington is making her way down Victory Lane toward the podium. We're trying to reach her now through this hysterical mob of humanity. Excuse me. This is Wally Ballou trying to get through. Pardon me. Wally Ballou, winner of 55 international awards, coming through. Mrs. Hetherington, would you step over here to our microphone, please?
Well, I don't know whether I can talk or not. I'm so out of breath.
Uh-huh.
Beat eggs for a solid hour, and you know you've been to the races.
Well, I heard the announcer say that you beat 177 of them. That's a new tournament record, isn't it?
It's a tournament record, also a new American record. Of course, I had hoped to crack the world's record of 193 held by some Russian girl, but I didn't make it.
Well, I think you must realize that the Russians take their best egg beaters and free them all from all responsibility so they can keep in shape for the big tournament.
Yes, I competed against some of the Iron Curtain representatives at the World Meet in Antwerp last year, and you could tell right away that they weren't amateurs. They even used bigger spoons.
And of course, that adds all the more glitter to your own crown, Miss Hetherington. How's it feel to be the national egg-beating champion?
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm still stunned, but I'm thrilled to pieces.
Think you'll be entering the interzone finals against Ceylon next month?
I really don't know. Right now, I feel like I just want to go back to Parkersburg and sleep for about a week.
Well, it'd be well-deserved rest, Mrs. Hetherington. Congratulations to you again. This is Wally Ballou at the Garden, winner of 55 international broadcasting awards and several diction awards on their own merit, returning you my own way to the Bob and Ray Show, already in
The United States Post Office, producer and distributor of stamps, invites you to ride with the men of Squad Car 119.
My name's Sam Finch. Me and my partner, Ralph R. Kruger Jr., we're the unsung heroes of the police department. We ride a prowl car at night, ready to handle any assignment that may come our way in a teeming city of 6 million. One night last week, the skipper got word that racketeer Lucky Faber was trying to sneak out of L.A. using the back roads in the valley. All of the cars from Central Division were assigned to set up roadblocks in the area. We just reached our assignment when my partner, Ralph R. Kruger Jr., turned to me and said,
"You mind if I turn on the dome light, Sam? It's too dark to do the crossword puzzle in here without it."
"Okay, go ahead. Turn it on."
"I won't turn it on if it bothers you, Sam."
"No, it doesn't bother me. Go ahead."
"It bothers some people."
"I think I see headlights coming down the road. You want to question this one, buddy?"
"Sure, you sit tight, Sam."
"What's the beef, Mac? I'm in a hurry."
Just a routine investigation, sir. It's pretty hard to see here. What color's your car?"
"Blue and tan. What about it?"
Hey, Sam, look at the dope sheet. What color does it give for Faber's car?
Sea Mist and Golden Sahara.
Well, I guess you're in the clear there. Could I see your driver's license?
I'm in the clear there, too, pal. I ain't got one.
Okay. Well, anything else you'd like to talk about?
Just get that junk out of the road and be quick about it.
You bet. Thanks for your cooperation, and good night.
Wrong guy, huh?
Yeah, nice fellow, though. You'd like him.
Sounded reasonable enough. Likeable.
Calling car 119, car 119, you can return to the office. Lucky Faber has been picked up by the men of squad car 11. He's been identified, booked, and brought to trial. In a moment, the results of that trial.
And while we're waiting for the results of today's exciting case, just a reminder from your United States Post Office. Friends, when you're sealing a letter, please remove your tongue from between the envelope and the flap before you mail it. Delivery will be faster, postage will be less, if you don't accompany the letter to its destination.
Lucky Faber was convicted on one count of trying to leave Los Angeles by a back road. Trying to leave Los Angeles by a back road is punishable by a term of life imprisonment in the state penitentiary.
And so, once again, right wins out over might, thanks to the unsung heroes of the police force, the men who ride the squad cars at night. Chet, how are you today?
Pretty well, thank you.
It's going to be an exciting episode today, I hear.
Well, it's the typical Friday cliffhanger episode.
Mm-hmm. So that.
It's a patented thing that we soap opera writers work on.
Right.
Kind of build up for that Friday and then have them all come back on Monday. That's the secret.
Sure thing. Well, Webley's over there to play the part of Calvin.
Play the organ.
Oh, no, he's
today.
Here. Going to play it twice, I was going to say.
I hope so.
Next, Mary Backstage, Noble Wife, the story of America's favorite family of the Footlights and their fight for security and happiness against the concrete heart of Broadway. In an abandoned mine shaft near their base camp in East Africa's Transvaal, Mary, Harry, Pop, and Calvin were just about to be joined by Greg Marlowe when he himself apparently became lost. Now, as they call to Greg in the inky blackness of the mine, we hear...
Can you hear me?
Wait a minute. Yes, Greg, I can hear you.
I'm lost.
Well, instead of you trying to find us, we'll try to find you. Keep talking, Greg.
Can you hear me?
Come on, Pop.
Right.
Calvin, come on, Barry.
I don't think he can hear us.
That's strange. We can hear...
Can you hear me?
Yes, Greg, we can hear you perfectly.
Oh, good, I can hear you now.
Oh, now,
how are you?
Now we're getting through to him. He can hear us. We're here in the mine.
Well, so am I, but I'm lost.
Keep talking, Mr. Barlow. We'll try to find our way to you. Can you see the opening to the mine?
No.
That's not so good. That would be a big help if he still had the opening in sight.
Uh-huh.
Such achy blackness in here is
sitting down. Begin to feel it in my bones now.
Yes, I do too. Mary, are you with us?
Oh, yes. I'm
stay
right
together.
Here. I'm having a good time. Actually, for all the fearfulness that's going on.
Are your eyes getting accustomed to this inky blackness?
Yeah, just like in a movie house. You know, you go in first and can't see a thing. Now I can see everything. I can see the end of the cave way up there.
Yes, you can. Where about?
Yes. See, right up there?
Yeah, that's it. Over there.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes, I see it myself, too.
Oh, you've got good eyesight, Barry.
Take shape.
Thank you.
I think I'm going to throw away these sparkling stones I picked up.
Everyone in my family always had good eyesight.
Yeah, I'm going to throw mine away,
had wonderful
too.
Eyesight. We used to always say how Grandpa, he could see everything. He could see the grass grow, he used to say.
No sense carrying sparkling stones around in your pocket. People look at you like you're some kind of a nut.
My grandmother never wore eyeglasses. She lived into the 90s. Never needed them to read.
That certainly is the opening up there. I think I'll throw my sparkling stones away, too. It's no need to take those back to camp with us.
What are you going to throw them away for? I have a nagging suspicion that they're diamonds.
Diamonds? Diamonds.
Diamonds?
You mean that, Calvin?
Why not? We're in Africa. Don't diamonds come from Africa?
Yes, I guess they do get them here.
Sure.
I've got to pick mine up and take them back to camp, just in case.
I'm still lost.
Guess I will, too. We're coming toward you, Greg. Keep talking.
I'm very lost now.
No, Was that you, Greg?
What?
Was that you tripping over something?
I'm lost.
Yes, I know. Did you just trip? We heard somebody fall down in here.
Oh, I tripped, yes. Over a big stone that sparkled.
I was the one that fell down. Help me up, Harry. Oh, yeah, take my hand. I'd better brush myself off.
I had an uncle, my drinking uncle, who had perfect eyesight. They say that he could hit a curveball.
If these are diamonds, we could very well be rich, wealthy.
He could see a ball curve, he said. And that's pretty exciting when you think of it, a man that age hitting a ball all over the ballpark.
Right, I'm going to hang on to these stones just in case they are diamonds.
Hey! Hello, Greg. Oh, I'm back with you people.
You stumble over a big shiny stone, you say?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to come back here.
They're diamonds, I think, Mr. Marlowe.
We think they might be diamonds.
You think they might be diamonds?
That's right, Greg. They sparkled when we first came in here, because...
Well, there's no need for us to make a TV show. This is our fortune right here. Maybe we've discovered our own private diamond mine.
Say, maybe you're right. Maybe we'll be wealthy beyond all dreams.
Well, let's start out anyway. Follow me. I've got great eyesight, Mr. Marlowe. Follow me.
Keep talking, Mary. What's that? Well, that must be Henry the cook out sharing our dinner again.
Hey!
What?
The reverberation is caused an avalanche.
The mine is caving in. Friends find that the mine is caving in around them. Will they be able to escape? Sure, and join us tomorrow when we'll hear Mary say...
He could see a ball curve, he said.
That's tomorrow in the next exciting episode of Mary Backstage Noble Wife. Word Carr speaking. And here they come, the honor guard, closing the door. Here in Studio 2.
Might point out, down through the years, the Barbary Uniformed Guard have never asked for nor received Christmas leave.
Our shows this week were produced by Bob Tiley and Jerry Strobridge. Our engineering force, Herb Squire, Al Schaefer, Jim Good, Al April, and Joe Janisse. And our thanks to Keith Critchlow for his messages brought in frequently.
Okay, that's it. Have a good weekend, everybody. And we'll see you on Monday. Until then, this is Ray Golding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Bruce King, Puff King, and all's well. Ask off the cave, but...
Goodbye, goodbye. I wish you all a last goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. I wish you all a last goodbye.
And this is WOR New York, RKO General Station.
You've been listening to our tribute to Bob and Ray. Bob Robert Beckett Elliott, March 26, 1923 to February 2, 2016. Ray Raymond Walter Goulding, March 20, 1922 to March 29, 1990. There's much more from the world of old-time radio to explore, and I hope you'll be with us next week when we do it, right here, on the RTC Weekly Podcast. Until then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.